Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
This is episode 22 of the Double Hit Podcast. We're both tired today.
Very tired. This is going to be a very yawny, stretchy, low-key kind of podcast.
I just, like, had a really big yawn right before I clicked record, so.
Why are you so tired? I know why I'm so tired.
Well, yeah, I went to bed late because I had a small knitting disaster last night. And then woke up at 7:30. So I didn't get my usual 8 hours of sleep.
Last week, from Wednesday night until Monday morning, I think I got like 22 hours of sleep.
Awesome.
It was bad.
Just cut back on that amphetamine use.
It was bad. What was your knitting disaster? What happened?
Okay, so we'll talk about my knitting.
Let's talk about your knitting disaster instead of my sleep habits.
I'm working on the button-me-up pullover.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is fine. I bound off the neck and I went to try it on and I looked down in the ribbing. Not dropped stitches, a hole.
Ah!
So I don't know what happened. Like the yarn was actually, like, snipped. Like, I don't know if it caught on something, but it was, like, a straight across cut. So I don't know if...
I'm out of podcast habit. I'm like just making faces at Erin instead of saying words like, oh my God, how did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. So, well, when I tried it on anyways, it was a little short. Well, I put little stitch markers in there so the stitches wouldn't like fly off while I was deciding what to do. I just ripped back the ribbing and decided to make the body longer anyways. Re-knit the ribbing, and then I'm going to try the sewn bind-off that Elizabeth Zimmerman does, because I've never done that before, to make it, like, really stretchy.
It's very stretchy. It's not the prettiest bind-off, but it's a good stretchy bind-off.
And I probably would have been really upset if I had been working on it for a long time. Yeah, but it's been a week.
Started it and finished it, like, while I was gone. Yeah. I saw that on your blog, and I was like, what? You joined this? What?
Yeah, so here, I'll show it.
So fast. So, is it top down?
It's bottom up.
Oh, it's bottom up. Okay.
So.
Okay.
And it's a little bit small, but I think it'll walk out.
And it's in the Eco Plus, in the Van Dyck Brown.
Yeah.
So, okay. Oh, cool.
And I have a huge ball of it left. So
with your now patented short sleeves.
Yeah.
Short sleeves.
15 inches long is like my sleeve length. So, and I love this yarn. So
cool.
It's already on the needles and everything and good to go.
That's cool.
That was my knitting disaster last night. That's all my time that I would actually spend. Well, I finished the yoke last night, but all the time I would actually spend knitting, like finishing it and like probably sewing the buttons on and getting it blocked and stuff. Was spent ripping out the ribbing.
Oh, that's too bad.
But I think I'll be happier with it anyways, with it longer. Yes.
Yeah.
So, okay, but it's really soft, and I really like it. So I'm like, ooh, what other kind of sweaters can I knit with this?
Yeah.
So I was thinking about doing a couple percentage sweaters, trying out the different, like, saddle shoulders
and
stuff.
Oh, yeah, that would be a great way to do it, because it would go really quickly, too.
Yeah. Because seriously, a week. For a sweater.
That is good. Yeah, I want to use the Eco Plus to do something like cable-y. So I'm still thinking I'll probably do something out of a fine fleece.
Yeah.
And the Japanese book. The Japanese book, the blue one. The little jacket with the thing.
That'd be really
cute. Yeah, I'm really good at the podcast thing now. Anyway, one of the
ones. That'd be really cute.
Yeah.
I think I want to try and figure out the math for Central Park hoodie.
Because
that is pretty heavy on the yardage.
Yeah.
And Eco Plus would be good for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was my disaster, but I have other knitting too. I finished Wicked.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So now the Button Me Up is number 6. So I'll be caught up in six months.
So how are we feeling about Wicked? I haven't seen pictures yet.
I haven't taken pictures yet. It's good. It's a little short, but I don't have more yarn.
Oh.
And I layer anyways, so it's not... But it's, like, still too warm to wear right now.
Yeah.
Because it's baby llamas.
Yeah.
So it's, like, short-sleeved, but still too warm.
Yeah.
And I really like the color, so... And I knit Melazine. I don't think I had knit that last...
No.
Podcast, that hat, the cable,
thing. Yeah,
it's really cute. It's a Ravelry download. I think it's $5.
Cool.
And I want it more. And that was for my stash. Like, it took less than a skein of Cascade 220.
that's good.
It was left over from Noah's sweater, so I got, like, another skein out of my stash.
Woohoo.
So, that was good. Butternut scarf, more than halfway done.
Yay.
It's right there. I was just working on it. I weighed it to make sure that I was, like...
Oh, that's the right
point. So, yeah. I think the original pattern is knit in lace weight, and it's only, like, 3 feet long, so it's more like a little, like...
Yeah.
Neck warmer thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just knitting till I run out of yarn, I think.
Yeah, I don't like those really short little... I was just looking at some pattern, and it when I looked at it, I just thought, oh, this designer ran out of time to knit their sampler.
Oh.
So, you know, it's like where it was just like it hung down around their neck and maybe had like, you know, 14 inches of drop on either side or something. I just thought, that's just meager looking. It's not...
Yeah. Yeah, so, but my mom's shorter than me, so I was thinking that, because this is for her birthday, that's on Saturday, and I'm not going to finish, but that's okay.
Happy birthday,
Mom. Oh, and happy birthday, Birdie. Her birthday was yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday, Bird.
Yeah. Their birthdays are really close.
Yes, they are.
It makes knitting for both of them hard, so I just got Burdette yarn. She got it, and she loved it.
Okay.
So. So I'm just going to knit until I have, like, one good around the neck. Like
yeah,
that length.
That's good.
And then I think I might knit fingerless gloves or something to go with them for Christmas.
Oh, cool.
So she'll have like little matchy-matchy. Yeah, because I'm getting kind of tired of the pattern because, yeah, not so much into the scarf
knitting
anymore.
That's why I don't knit scarves.
Yeah.
So just
But the yarn is totally worth it. Like, I still like knitting with that yarn.
A friend of mine from knitting camp, I don't know if she listens. Kim, if you're listening, take a drink. She was in, like, one of the Sundara clubs, and she got some yarn a while ago that was this, like, total, like, Jessica shade of kind of sick green, and I think my comment on her blog was, like, if you change your mind about that, you know, send it to me, and, so she changed her mind about it, and she sent me an email going, do you want this yarn, and it's, just, like, 1,000 yards of the, like, Aaron Waite Silk Merino blend, and I was, like, yes, but so I'm just gonna get it from her when I go to camp. So I think that's gonna be my February lady. I think actually then I won't have to, I think I will go to camp, get that yarn from her, and knit a February lady sweater while I'm at camp. At camp where I think I will not have a finished giant laughing man cardigan, and I'm so sad.
Okay. I started lace too, because I was like, I need to knit some lace. what am I thinking?
What did you start?
Icicle Dream. It was an Anne Hansen pattern that was in the Winter Twist Collective.
Okay.
It's a stole. I'm knitting it in Smooshy in the Midnight Derby color. Because we got those two skeins at the shop that were really dark.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need to knit something with those. So sweater number 6, scarf for my mom, and the stole.
I should go out of town for 5 days more often.
Yeah.
You've been amazingly...
I've been kind of stressed out lately, so I've been knitting a lot.
Oh.
So, how about you? You were at TNA,
My knitting sounds really boring compared to yours. Like, I'm still working on a giant laughing mitten cardigan. I've barely touched it. I still haven't even finished the body. I'm dragging my heels. I know I can't finish it before camp. And I worked on Georgie. I took it with me to TNA, and so the back is complete. And the fronts are maybe about halfway done. I'm doing them at the same time.
Mm.
So I still have quite a ways to go on that.
That's a lot of progress, though, because that's lightweight yarn.
Yeah. And it was really funny having that TNA. Like, you know, here I am in, like, the land of pretty new yarns and exciting stuff. And everyone's like, what is that you're making? And, like, oh, it's... Or what yarn is this? That was everyone asking.
Yeah.
And that's so pretty. And I'm like, oh, it's 4-ply soft. And then everyone sort of, like... wiped a tear away. They're like, oh, 4-ply soft. Why did they discontinue it? And I think between the color and the combination of the yarn, which is just this nice, tight twist merino, and the pattern, which is a really simple little cable rib thing.
Yeah.
It just, they go together so well.
Yeah.
The cable's just, someone said to me, your tension is so even. It's like, No, it's not. But it's just a trick of the yarn. It makes it look good, but it is coming out really nicely. So, yeah, so that's all I've been working on. And now I'm, like, all puzzled about what to take to Japan.
I saw it on your blog.
Yeah, my idea was, like, oh, I'll do the Featherweight Cardigan by Hannah Fettig of KnitBot. And because I thought, oh, I can keep working on sweaters. It's really lightweight.
Yeah. Won't take up much room.
A lot of people take, like, socks when they travel or lace, and I'm just not in that. I'm just not interested in knitting socks and lace right now. Like, I want to keep going on the whole sweater thing. And so I did that little gauge swatch yesterday, and it's like, blah, it's so open, and, like, you can, like, read through it, and I don't like that. So, I mean, I know the whole idea of it was to knit lace weight at a bigger gauge, but I've seen, you know, samples that people have done of, like the Whisper cardigan, which is the same idea, that didn't look quite that bad. The other thing, too, is the yarn that I have, I know a lot of people online have been knitting the Featherweight in the Malabrigo lace, and the yarn I have is definitely thinner than that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, I mean, the Malabrigo kind of, like, plumps when you cook it, kind of thing, you know, like, it fluffs up a lot. And the stuff I have, I don't think is going to do that. Actually, it's funny. So I'm the Button Me Up designer, Laura Chow. I met a Cosmic Pluto. I met her at TNNA for the first time. I mean, I've been reading her blog for a long time.
I think
time.
My next sweater is going to be by her, too.
Oh, really?
Lucy in the Sky.
Oh, I so want to make one of those.
I have plain black Cascade 220, and it's going to be, like, I know already, my go-to sweater.
Yeah.
Like, my plain black cardigan.
Every time I see it on Ravelry, I'm like, God, I got to make one of those.
Yeah.
But
I like her pattern is well written, and all her designs are really cute. So
cool. Why was I talking about her?
At TNNA.
At TNNA. What were we talking about now? I'm so tired. Maybe it'll come back to me.
Okay.
Maybe we can pause and listen to what I just said.
Okay.
Here, let's do that.
Okay.
So that was awesome. I wish in real life I could stop and go back and listen.
I know.
What was I just saying? So we went back. What I was thinking was she had just left a comment on my blog saying maybe I could double the yarn, but I'm not sure I have the yardage to do that, because I think that would make a much better fabric. So the other thing I was thinking last night, another person I met at TNNA is Isolde Teague. I had been thinking a lot about knitting a Coraline sweater anyway, and someone had done one for Alpaca April that was really beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
And she, Isolde, brought, like, all her stuff. She had a little suitcase with all her
trunk show.
It was.
That's awesome.
And so I got to try hers on. Now, Isolde is, like, half my size, I think. And so it was quite tiny on me, but it was enough that I could see, like, oh, yeah, I like this a lot. And I tried on her, what is it called, Matilda Jane, which is, like, it's got, like, a big lace-up in the back and kind of a round neck, which normally I'd look at and go, well, that's cute, but not on me. And when I tried it on, everyone was like, oh, yeah, that looks really good on you. So I was like, oh, really? But I don't know if I need, like, something that big going on in the back of me. But, yeah, so then I was thinking, maybe I'll just bring Coraline with me. And then I said something on my blog about it, and I woke up this morning to all these comments of, like, no, don't bring a sweater with you to Japan. Bring something little. Do a lace project. But
if you're into sweaters,
like,
do a sweater.
I think I can handle it.
I support your non-sock, non-lace travel knitting.
And other people were also suggesting, like, you're going to want to buy all this stuff when you're there. But I think I'm going to do what I did for TNNA, which is pack an empty suitcase inside my suitcase. And I did it for TNNA, and I didn't even have to use it. Actually, the hardest thing to pack at the end of the show was just the empty suitcase. Like, I had enough room for all my crap, and just... Although, I gotta say, to jump around a little bit, to talk about TNNA a little bit, I had a half a day less on the market floor. The market is open for 2.5 days, and I had to leave first thing Monday morning, so I didn't get to go back for the last half day. So I was really like, go, 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 work, 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 work. And really did not work the whole swag angle at all. Like, I mean, there were some books there that I did really want to see. Like, Clara Parks was signing. It was like an unedited proof. It was basically like a Xerox copy. But her new book, The Knitter's Book of Wool, totally missed that. The only one I made an absolute point to go and get was Vintage Baby Knits by Kristen Rangel.
Oh, yeah.
Which we've already talked about it and how much I love, but I also really love Kristen. I met her last year at TNNA before the book had been published, and we just hit it off. She's from Chicago, and I'm like, I live in Chicago, and her husband works for, like, one of my friends from college, and we just totally hit it off. So, and she showed me the, all, she had a suitcase, another suitcase with all the designs from the book, like, long before it was published, and she's pulling out, and there's a lot of designs in the book, and she went through all of them with me, and I just felt, like, really in love with what she was doing. So I made a point of going. She had, fortunately, she had two sightings, because I missed her first one, but I managed to make it to the second one. The first day on the sales floor, I was going through all my paperwork. The show opens at, is open from 10 until 6. Going through all my paperwork, and I pull this sheet of paper out that says that there's, that reminded me that there was going to be a tweet up at the Interweave booth that was going to be called Let Them Tweet Cake. And so you'd go and you'd meet people and you'd eat cupcakes, which, you know, sounds awesome.
That sounds good.
And I'm looking at it and going, oh, it's at 2 o'clock. I have loads of time. And then I turned and checked my watch and saw that it was like 2 minutes to two.
Oh.
And so, and if you had asked me, I would have said, like, it's about noon. I just, like, the first day just vanished for me. I don't know what happened. I was just trying to, like, see everything, do everything. Yeah, I don't know. Should I go back to this, or should I just cover the whole Tina thing right now?
Yeah, just
let's
go,
get it all out
going.
Now. Yeah. Okay, so I got to Columbus on Thursday night. Friday, I had an all-day class with Kat Bordy that was on, like, writing patterns for sale or for kids. And it wasn't at all about the design process. Like, we did not discuss design. Like, she just sort of assumed, like, you're a designer of some sort.
Yeah.
You've got your idea. Great. So we talked a lot about the choice of, like, what kind of language to use in your patterns and how much abbreviating do you want to do? How much explaining do you want to do? What kind of format do you want to do? Is it going to be, like, in print? Is it going to be digital? Is it going to be... And we just talked a lot about that and just sort of design aesthetics for printed patterns. And there was a lot of really good information in it.
Okay, I want to interject right here because I've been buying some patterns, and I get really frustrated because I don't want to waste my printer ink on color photos.
I know.
And I had, so I have to, like, open them, then save them as black and white, and then print them.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, I understand if you're designing it looks really good.
Yeah.
Like, on your computer screen,
or
if you're...
Set that your preference when you print to
no,
say...
Not
no,
not on my printer.
Oh, okay.
No.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. So, it'd be nice if there was, like... I don't know.
Yeah.
I know some people really care about that, but I just don't want to use all my ink on printing photos.
Well, then there's the whole debate of, like, but if I do a PDF, then everyone can just copy it and send it to their friends. It's like, you know what? People are copying and sending the hard copies of patterns to their friends, too.
Yeah.
And hopefully, like, we... I mean, a lot of the... It was an... the group of people who were at this particular workshop, like, some were designers and some were teachers and some were yarn shop owners and... You know, as the yarn shop owners, it's our job to educate people so they understand and the importance of respecting the copyright of a designer and not, you know, I mean, yeah, then, but then, oh, man, and then we ended up in the whole copyright discussion and then I
it
wanted to leave.
It all devolves to copyright.
Oh, it always comes down, that was the, someone was saying, all the discussions on Ravelry always end up ending being about copyright or breastfeeding. It just, yeah, so then at that point I was like, I want to leave now. I don't want to sit here and talk about the same copyright conversation.
But, you know, I understand that it looks really good when you're formatting or designing on a computer, like, putting your pattern together.
Yeah.
And if you're doing, like, glossy on heavyweight paper to sell, like, the physical thing, but PDFs, I don't think it really matters.
But, I mean, I can see the value in that it does look really nice. I mean, I remember reading, I can't remember who I read it from, a long time ago, talking about how on some level she wished all patterns were in black and white because a lot of times the color choice of model really kind of gets in your way of seeing the patterns.
Like, think of all those awesome vintage books that are in black and white, and you're like, oh, I could do that in a billion different colors.
But nowadays people perceive color as value, you know, that like if it's prettier and more colorful that that's better somehow.
Yeah, but it wastes my printer ink.
It does waste our printer ink.
So, continue, Tina.
Oh, anyway, so that was Kat's class. Later that evening was the Sample It event, which I think I talked about the last time, which is, like, you get to go in and some, just not all the vendors do this, just some vendors do it, where they have like an item that they're offering at wholesale pricing. Sometimes it's a little below wholesale. And the idea is that you get it and you take it back to your store and you try it out and you go, oh, I love this, and you'll order from them without having to, you know, cough up the $1,000 minimum or whatever it is. But what it really is a huge shopping spree for the people who go to the show. The only people who are allowed to buy, in theory, at Sample It are people who are from the stores, people who are there to buy, which had a lot of designers kind of grumbling this year, because I think in previous years they've been able to get in. I mean, I went.
That makes sense, though, because, yeah, the whole reason they have it is so that you can try it to sell to your customer.
But I don't think, I mean, everyone at that show had a Namaste bag that they bought at Sample It. Like, actually, yeah, the Namaste booth always gets swamped because they sell one of their bags, and then usually inside the bag they put some of their accessories in it, and then they sell it at the wholesale price for just the bag.
Oh.
So it's a really good deal. You know, you get like a free, like I think this year they had like their little snap case or their Catalina case or maybe one of each inside a Newport tote or something. And they had a couple of different colors that you could pick from. But I didn't even go near that. I mean, it was like a scrum in front of their booth. It was just this wall of people. And I was like, well, you know, it's okay. Yeah. I don't need it that badly. So I just picked up something for the store. The Della Q little Q style circular needle case that they have came out now in like solid color fabrics that are less expensive because they have a lower silk content than their stripe fabrics.
I'm gonna look at that.
And then they also have dual labeling now. They used to sell them when you order them. You had to order either metric or U.S. sizes on the labels. And now they're labeled with both, which is great. So, and it's good for them. They don't only have to make one product. So I got those for the shop. And then I just, after a while, I was like, it's hot and crowded and I just want to get out of here.
You fleed.
So, yeah, I just ran out. And then people were gathering. Then the fashion show is after that. So people were gathering for that. The fashion show this year I thought was much better than the January fashion show. I mean, just in terms of how they ran it was much better. The changeovers with the models were better. There was a lot less in the show that I was like, ew, that's disgusting. And there were some surprising things, like things that I really liked. When I was reading the program, I saw that a company that sells, excuse me, pearl cotton had two sweaters in the fashion show knit in size 5 pearl cotton.
What?
And I thought, okay, sure, whatever. And they were so cute. And they things came out. One was designed by Helen Hammond. It was pretty simple. It was just like a little stripe kind of kimono thing. And then the other was like a little Chanel jacket done in like blue with white trim. It was really cute. And one of them, though, I talked to them at their booth. One of them, it was with the cotton held doubled. I mean, I'm still not going to be going out and knitting myself any sweaters with pearl cotton.
Me either.
My favorite item in the whole show was by the same designer who knit my favorite item in the last show that I saw, which is Robin Melanson. And it was for the Saint Denis book, the Veronique Avery, which is just as fab as I thought it was going to be. And
so what was it?
So it's a stranded colorwork, little like really fitted, modern looking sweater, sort of like a really modern take on a Norwegian ski sweater, but very fitted and had like a big cool kind of motif on the front.
Cool.
And it was in like eggplant and white, and it was
pretty.
Really cool. So I got to, so I just keep jumping around a little bit. Let me talk about the Saint Denis before I forget about it. So it's distributed by Classic Elite. The yarn is called Nordique, and it is a sport to DK weight, 100% wool, not like super sexy yarn. Mm-hmm. But the book is fantastic. It has many, many designs in it by Veronique.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has this beautiful sweater by Robin Melanson. There's beautiful twisted stitch gloves in there by Isolde. Franklin Habit has a little kid's sweater in it that's really cute. There's a designer, I can't remember her name, she did some dolls, like she'd done dolls that were in the Twist Collective.
Yeah.
So she'd done some different dolls that are in these like little, they're insanely cute, they're in like little hoods that are like removable hoods. Like they're in like sleepy pajamas but with hoods on, and there's like little buttons on the tush, and it's just super cute. Jared Flood's name was on the list of contributors, and he actually is not doing designs for that, but he's doing like a photo essay.
Oh.
Yeah, so anyway, I loved that it. That sounds awesome. I loved it. It's gorgeous. So I ordered that yarn for the shop. It comes in like 36 colors, so that was just way too much to do. But I ordered all the colors that were used in the book, just as a starting place. So we're going to do that. But Jared Flood had a design that everyone really loved in the fashion show that was also for Classic Elite, because he has a whole book coming out called Made in Brooklyn.
I heard
Classically.
I heard rumors of that or something.
Oh, did you?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where. Probably Ravelry.
Yeah. So, and it's got like a Shetland shawl in it, and the sweater that he had in the fashion show was like a men's, kind of somewhere between like Fair Isle and Cowichan sweater. Like, it had like big band motifs on it, and it was in a cashmere yarn, so it just looked really nice. But I'm not going to be knitting any big stranded knit cashmere sweaters anytime soon for any guys in my life. But yeah, so that looks fantastic. I got to meet him, which was nice. And he's going to be in Seattle. I can't remember if it's the end of summer or early fall. He's going to speak at the Seattle Knitters Guild. So
I should probably join the Knitters Guild.
Yeah, you can come to the Knitters Guild without joining too. But yes, you should join the Knitters Guild. It's only $22 a year. It's worth it. So then I was talking about the fashion show. And is there anything else in the fashion show really of note? Nothing that leaps to mind, right? Oh, so the one trend I noticed in the fashion show is orange. Like burnt orange, just everything orange, orange. For some reason, there's like a million like suits and things, like skirt and sweater sets, which I'm like, yeah, sure, people are really going to be knitting those. But I guess, you know, it's kind of the like runway versus real life situation. Like, this is like the idealized version of it.
Yeah.
And then when the show opened, I ran to Spud and Chloe and ordered that for the shop. And but I already knew what they'd sent this little preview kit to the store so that we had like, a sample of every yarn and a little miniature version of every sweater or of every pattern they were going to do for it. So I'm getting the fine in the sweater. The fine is a wool silk blend that's machine washable, it's sock weight. And then the sweater is a cotton wool blend, again, like washable. The whole idea of this collection is washable. There's a super bulky too that's called Outer, but I just couldn't justify it. It's very low yardage and pretty spendy.
Yeah.
And there's only like 5 colors of it. So I skipped that. Interweave's got a lot of really great looking books coming out. They're going to be doing like a knitted gift book that has some really cute stuff in it. And then there's a knitted crochet book. Knitted crochet gift book. Oh my gosh, I'm so out of it. Crochet gift book. So they're like the same format. They look really similar. And I assume those will be ready for holiday. There's another book coming out that's called like the New Stranded Color Work. That has some really cute stuff in it. There's like a little kid sweater in it that looks very Dale of Norway-esque. That's like yellow with like bees around the bottom of
it.
And some interesting stuff. And Kathy Merrick has a color workbook for crochet that's coming out. I was running around and just trying to find new things. Like I picked up Madeline Tosh sock for the shop.
I have some Madeline Tosh worsted.
Oh, do you?
In the cambray color. It's like grays. It's so pretty. I'm like, save that for something special. I only have 2 skeins yet.
Oh, okay. So.
But yeah, her stuff is really pretty. Yeah. So I'll be getting some of the socks.
Cool, yeah.
Comes in.
What else? I'm so out of it
I saw your video of Cerulea, Rose, and Isolde.
That has to be like the most documented event of
TNA. And you sounded so tired.
Oh, I
like,
know. My voice is
hysterical,
like,
laughing.
Yeah. Well, and I was standing next really to funny. Roger from Abundant Yarn, so I was going like, ha, 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 and he's going, it was, yeah. So what happened was, so Isolde had her trunk show with her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she'd sort of started to pull it out and people were trying things on and playing with it. And then people were starting to joke about like all the stupid things you see in knitting, knitwear modeling. Like, you know, all the dumb poses and just the cliches of knitwear modeling. And people had been joking, I don't know if there was something that led up to it, the night before, like on Friday night, people had been joking that Cerulea and Isolde should have some sort of walk-off a la Zoolander. And so, and Cerulea Rose is a, I can't remember her exact title, I think she's like a, she's a designer, she works at, with Barocco. Mm-hmm.
She used to be at Webbs.
She, yes. Yeah. And so you'll see her, her work, you know, in a lot of the Barocco stuff, and she actually writes, I think, the Knitbits newsletter that they send out. And she's the model for Lexi Barnes' new stuff. Yeah, and you'll see her crop up, like, her picture, like, in Classic Elite pictures and stuff. Anything in Massachusetts. So they started, like, doing all this stuff, and people were taking all these pictures. So I shot some video of it, and Mary Heather from Ravelry shot some video, and Laura Chow shot, like, a million pictures of it. And she set up she did a little animation of it. Anyway, so there's a lot of documentation of this event. It went on for, like, a half an hour where we were all just, like, shouting stuff out, like, you know, like, pretend to knit, do this, do that, look sad, look this. And everyone's just, like, screaming stuff at them. And then afterwards, I think it was Jess who was like, that was like a fail. They were supposed to look stupid, and they still look so freaking cute. You know, because it's like impossible for Cerulea or Isolde to not look adorable, whatever they're doing. So, yes, that was a lot of fun. There was, I had such a hard time with the time change this time around. Because my cat boardy class, like the first day, it was an 8 a.m. class. Now, if I was in my own time zone, 8 a.m. would still be, like, a little bit rough for me. But it was an East Coast time.
Yeah.
So I kept talking to everybody about my 5 a.m. class. And then on Sunday, like, at the very end of everything, where I'd been, and like, every night, I was like, I gotta try to go to bed at a reasonable hour. And, you know, for me, going to bed at 1 o'clock Columbus time was, you know, going to bed at a pretty reasonable hour. And then I was, like, going to bed at, like, 2 o'clock. And then, like, 2:30. So my Sunday morning class was with Lily Chin. And I thought when I signed up for it, it was a short, robust art class. And I thought it was a knitting class. And I got my homework assignment. And it was in crochet. And I was like, oh, man, I am so screwed. So I thought, like, buck up. I sort of know how to crochet. I can do this. And maybe I'll learn something interesting. And so I did the samples. Got to class at, you know, what was 5 a.m. for me after going to bed at, like, 2:30. 2:30 Columbus time. But, and then Lily gets to class, and she was like, this is supposed to be a crochet class? I thought this was a knitting class. And we're like, oh, no. So she just did it on the fly. Most of the information was equally applicable to crochet and to knitting, where she really just talked a lot about how to measure and how to plan out the size of the darts. I mean, it just sort of made me, like, get it a little more. And it was really good to understand, like, how much you want to add to the front of a sweater. And that she had us, like, sort of set a fixed point around our bodies where we, like, stood against a chair and just did a masking tape line around us. Mm-hmm. And then we measured from the top of the shoulder down our front to that line. And then from the top of the shoulder down the back to that line. My chair was really low, and it hit me at the, like, biggest point around of my body, like around my butt, my hips, like, so when I measured myself, it was exactly equal front to back, and I'm looking at my chest going, don't tell me my butt sticks out that far, like, no, but you know, the point was made, like, I wouldn't be wearing a sweater that would go all the way down to my butt like that. I would be wearing, you know, at the length, I like my sweaters to be, I would still have an adjustment to make. So we went through all of that, but, you know, Lily talks awfully fast, and crochet is kind of a blur to me anyway, so I kept telling everybody my impression of the class was like, or my memory of the class is like, single, single, double, single, half, double, single, single, done. And then, like, I was like, I left the class, and the total day is like, okay,
what just happened?
I don't know what just happened. Yeah, I was so dazed by that. But I got some really good information. I wrote some notes. Maybe I can remember something from my notes. So what else? I just had, like, I mean, I had this crazy list when I went into the show the second day of, like, all of my, like, crap, I missed these vendors, and it was, like, the length of my arm list of people that I had to catch up with and see. And, yeah, one exciting thing that's happening is that Dream in Color and Chic Knits, Bon Marie Burns, are teaming up together, and so that Bon Marie, like, her most recent shell, she's knit a sample of it in Classy. She has this beautiful coat that she hasn't put online yet that is based on that same Mondo Cable shell pattern. And that one's being done in Classy too, and she's going to do a whole trunk show of her designs in Dream and Color yarn. And we're getting it at our shop. Yay!
That's exciting. Because I love her patterns.
I love her patterns. I love Dream and Color. I love it all. And Veronica from Dream and Color, who told me that I'm her new friend, she said, well, I was walking through the hotel lobby, and Veronica and Nancy and Nancy's husband were coming toward me, and they saw me, they looked up, they saw me, and they all went, hey! And I was like, oh, what do you want from me? Like, I just thought, like, this is not good. What? And they're like, we were just talking about you. I was like, why were you talking about me? And they're like, we decided that you're our friend. And I'm like, okay, cool. So Veronica wants me to design a sweater for her.
Oh.
So it's a little stranded color work yoke thing.
Cool.
So, but she wants me to do it in Smushy. So, and I said, is it okay if it's steeked? And she's like, if you can write it steeked, that's okay with me. And then I told her, I'm like, because I'm not going to knit it for you if it's not steeked. I'm not doing color work back and forth because I'm terrible at that. So, she's going to send me stuff. I guess I'll work on that when I get back from Japan. I was saying, I was like, too bad I couldn't get the yarn from her before I left for Japan. Because doing, like, the plain body part of, in the round, in the smushy, that would keep me busy the whole time I'm away.
Yeah.
And just be easy schmeasy knitting. And, yeah. But no, I don't get to do that. So, now I've confused myself again. That was exciting. Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember what else.
Is that enough wrap up?
I think that is. Yeah. Have I talked for long enough?
Yeah, because I want to talk about petite girls.
So I came home and there was this cuteness.
Oh my god!
Everyone was talking about on Twitter.
Petite pearls,
which is just—it's just a few patterns of total adorableness for children.
Yeah. And I cued the watermelon halter. I think it's called halter melon.
Yes.
And them apples. Mm-hmm. And the little dress.
Bliss. Yeah. I saw that one and I knew, like, Molly's going to love that one. And then the first thing she wrote was like, oh, I'm in the bliss. Although she thought it was kind of ironic that the sweater that is the dress that is an homage to Debbie Bliss is knit, like, top down in the round.
Yeah.
Whereas, not in pieces. Whereas, Debbie Bliss had done it, it would have been in pieces. But it's so cute with the little cables and the lace, and it's so cute.
Yeah.
Done in baby cashmerino. So cute.
Yeah. So. Yes.
So it's a really beautifully put together little online magazine. It just looks gorgeous, like, so clean and sweet looking, and,
I'm looking forward to seeing more of this.
Yeah, I am too. I didn't have any idea it was coming down the pike. And, like, the little boy's vest, I don't remember what that one was called. That one, I'm seeing in queues everywhere.
Pembroke.
And it's done in classy. In go-go grassy, classy. That I've seen in everybody's queue on Ravelry. It's so hard to find cute stuff for boys.
Yeah.
So that's been really popular, but they just did a beautiful job with it. The pictures are
the
cute.
The little red-haired baby.
Yeah.
In that. Wesley? The model is Wesley.
The model's Wesley? Yeah. Oh, that's a good name.
He's really cute.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I haven't even had a chance to look at the articles or anything.
I just looked at the patterns.
I'm just still playing catch-up, and then I'm leaving really, really soon. So.
I know.
So,
There's not a ton of articles.
Yeah.
There's just a couple.
A little bit. Product reviews and things.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that was a lot of talking.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk reading and movies, or are we still talking knitting?
I do. Well, yeah. I have stuff. I'm reading the same book, so whatever. I'm about to finish it.
Okay.
We can talk about that. I've watched a lot of good stuff. I finished season one of True Blood.
But now everyone's talking about season two of True Blood, and I don't have HBO, so Wes keeps saying, like, on Twitter, he keeps seeing stuff about it, like, la 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 la, no telling.
Yeah. So that's exciting. It was really good. And I'm watching season one of The Tudors, because it's on Watch Instantly now.
Oh, is it? I watched, the first episode, and there was just way too much, like, mustache twirling, bodice ripping for me.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes these shows get off to, like, a bit of a bumpy start, but... Yeah, I don't know.
What's funny is that there's one of the Henry's friends is William Compton, Sir William Compton, and Phil's oh, name, Compton. Bill Compton from oh, True yeah, Blood. Right. And I'm like, I don't think it's the same guy.
No. Although the guy who plays Bill Compton in True Blood is English, because Wes and I are like, that accent kind of comes and goes mm-hmm. a little bit. And we're like, where is this guy really from? He's English. So yeah.
Bill Compton's in two shows I was watching. And I went and watched Drag Me to Hell.
Oh, I heard great things about that. I love Sam Raimi.
Yeah, I do too. So, Sam Raimi, if you don't know, he directed Spider-Man, but before that he did Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, and Army of Darkness.
Don't roll your eyes when you say Spider-Man, because the first and second Spider-Man movies were really good.
To me, it was off-genre for him, so...
Bruce Campbell was there?
Briefly.
I think they're good. But anyway, but yes, Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2.
Because I watched it, and then a bunch of people in the theater were leaving. They're like, that sucked. And I just rolled my eyes at them. I was like, obviously, you don't know Sam Raimi.
Like, we don't get it. Because, yeah.
Because it was gory and fun. Or, not gory. Disgusting and funny.
Yeah.
And I liked it.
Yeah, I heard it was really, really great in that way. He is definitely the king of, like, comical... horror-ish stuff. But it's only, like, PG-13,
It is PG-13.
So I heard there's a lot of, like, eek moments, but not a lot of...
Yeah.
Ugh. But that there's a lot of, like, kind of mucus and other
slimy
things.
Yeah, that was disgusting. And I was, like... I was, like, knitting away on the body of my sweater, and I was like, ugh!
Yeah. Yeah, it stars, what's her name? Allison Lohman?
Yeah, I think.
Who, like, was... gonna be like a huge star when she started in White Oleander when it came out.
Oh yeah.
And everyone was talking about her like she was just gonna be this huge, huge star, and she was in Matchstick Men, and then never really happened for her. I don't know why. I think because she's like 30 years old and she still gets cast as an 18-year-old because she looks really young. So she never
she needs to find some like TV high school show. Like what's his face? Matt Dillon or whatever.
Oh.
Or Luke Perry, sorry.
Luke Perry, yeah.
90210.
Right. Yeah. That's for you, Amanda.
Yeah. And I watched Danielson, a family movie. Uh-huh. It's a documentary about Danielson, family, Danielson, and Danielson's sonship. Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Okay. Danielson is this guy, Daniel Smith? I think that's his name. And... Sufjan Stevens was in his band. Sufjan Stevens, you know, is like super popular now. And Danielson was this guy, Daniel's stage name for his single act. He got really famous for Danielson Family, which is him and all his siblings. And they do, I guess it's Christian music, but it's like not in the Christian genre, like the Christian... record people refuse to acknowledge them. It sounds a lot like alternative stuff like Sufjan Stevens, kind of weird, but good. No one was like, I liked that music.
Yeah.
And they just write about, you know, their faith and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But not in, like, a preachy way. So it's a documentary about him and his family and how this band started. Now he does... recording, like music recording.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like Sufjan Stevens label and all that stuff. But it was really interesting. And Danielson Family, when they tour, which they didn't do very much because they all have kids and stuff, they wear like little nurses outfits. The women wear nurses outfits. It's supposed to be like healing, you know. And the guys wear like white scrubs and stuff like that. So that was really good.
Mm.
I was surprised that, you know, I liked it. Just because it was like, Christian-y or whatever, but good musicians, so cool. I'm not going to say that they negate each other, like, the Christian and the good music stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. Somersault, which is an indie Australian film, which has just a bunch of unknown people in it, because it's an indie movie.
Okay.
That was really good.
What was that about?
This girl who kind of runs away from home because she kisses her mom's boyfriend, and it's kind of a coming-of-age deal. A little depressing, but really pretty.
Mm.
Like, they shot it at a ski resort or something in Australia. And then Eagle vs. Shark, which was awesome!
I didn't like that one.
I liked it. It reminded me of Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah,
kind of.
it's
the guy
I don't remember his last name. From Flight of the Conchords. And, yeah, it's sort of about this girl, like this sort of nerdy, nebbishy girl.
Yeah.
Him and
he's got kind of a mullet thing going.
Yeah, it just I didn't like it. It didn't nah, it didn't work for me.
Like, I liked it, and I liked the music. Mm-hmm. It was good. There's some David Bowie.
I saw it a while ago, but it just, like, I saw where they were going for it and how they were kind of going for that, like, Napoleon Dynamite vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't quite get there for me because he was just such, I think also, you know, it's like if you watch Flight of the Conchords, kind of used to him in this character where he's like
a total loser, that.
But like kind of sweet at least. And this one,
he was a loser, but he was a jerk.
Complete jerk. And then you're watching this girl. It's like, I just felt so badly for the girl, like that she thought that was what she deserved in life, like that she didn't deserve anything better than this guy who's a complete jerk. So I don't know. It made me a little ugly feeling.
I think she kind of, she changed her mind, though.
Yeah.
It
just, it wasn't, there wasn't enough at the end to, like, kind of make me feel really like the rest was okay.
And it's only on Watch Instantly till July 2nd. So if you want to watch it, you should do that. I think that's it.
Okay.
That's a lot of movie watching.
Yeah, I have not done very much at all.
That's why I knit a sweater in a week.
Yeah, there you go. I've been watching season 4 of Weeds, which I still love. I've got, like, one disc left on that.
Season 5 is on Watch Instantly right now.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Season 5?
Yeah.
Like the first episode?
I think all of it. I haven't looked at it, but it looked like it was a bunch of episodes.
Really?
Yeah, because I was like, oh, season 5, because I thought I had watched season 4, but I haven't. So now I need to get season 4 on.
Because a lot of times they do, Showtime shows the premiere episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they showed the premiere episode of the last season of The L Word.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the first episode of United States of Terror, or, like, the first episode of Nurse Jackie, which mm-hmm. I watched, actually. But then they don't show you the rest. Then you have to either,
so they didn't look at the episode
because they think, like, then you'll, like, get Showtime because you want to watch the rest of it, or else you have to wait
another
year.
That's a bunch of bunk Showtime. Whatever.
But they give you the little free taste. That's how I saw the first episode of The Tudors. It was before it aired.
The first time is free.
Exactly. And then they get you hooked. And then you gotta, like, get Showtime or something to watch the rest of them.
Yeah,
because I watched, like, the first episode of, like, you know, season whatever it was of L Word, like, the final season, and now I'm, like, waiting for it to actually come out on DVD so I can see the rest of it.
Showtime's just a big tease.
They are. They make you wait a really long time. Well, Wes is, like, beside himself with the idea that he has to wait, like, a whole year now to see the season 2 of True Blood. He's like, no, he's like, we could just tour in it, couldn't we? I'm like, that's illegal. We're not doing illegal things. We can live. There's enough stuff to watch that we don't have to break the law.
It makes me sad, though.
I'm sorry. I think that's all I've been watching. I mean, I just haven't been around much. Wes and I watched the final episode of Pushing Daisies last night. We were so sad. So
did
sad.
Did they wrap it up?
They did, like, ever so briefly, kind of little, like, okay, wrap it up kind of thing, mm-hmm. but we were just like, it ended, and we were like looking at each other. That's it. It's gone. It's over.
Stupid network.
Sad. Stupid network.
Oh, that's the other thing I watched. Season 2 of Arrested Development. I watched it again because it's on sale at Target for like $13, and I was like, yoink. Because it goes on sale all the time. That's how I bought season 1. So. Still funny.
I don't know what was happening. At one point in TNA, I'm walking in this big group of people. And I think, like,
someone busted out in a chicken dance.
Well, no, I think Mary Heather from Ravelry and someone else. I don't remember. There were two people behind me, and they were like, what's it? I couldn't hear what they were saying until all of a sudden someone said, Mrs. Featherbottom! Like, I know what you're talking about!
That's in season 2.
Yeah.
I just watched that. So funny.
So good. Yeah. Oh, I think that's it. I think we've talked. I'm sure I'm missing like tons of stuff, but I'm still so tired. And I'm leaving for Japan on Sunday, so I'm like, I got my boss to work. I'm only working half days for the next 2 days so that I can like pull my together. I have no plan. Like, I'm going to Japan, like, no, I have no idea. I guess you guys missed the good visual of me looking dumb. I have no clue what I'm gonna do. Like, I'm going with this school group, so I don't need to, like, I've got a lot of my stuff planned out. And, like, so far, the extent of my planning is, like, I would like to go to Yuzawaya, which is, like, a giant craft kind of department store. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Like, that's my whole plan. Like, I don't know what else I'm going to do in Tokyo. I've got, like, my Lonely Planet guidebook, And I don't understand the rail system at all, or like, I don't understand anything, and I'm just hoping that someone will be nice to me. All I have right now is like my Lonely Planet guide.
Those are really good though.
Yes. My Tokyo Moleskin that has like the maps in it and like some Tokyo stuff in it. My passport and 18,000 yen. And that is all I have like in preparation for this trip. That is it. I need to go do a whole bunch of errands and stuff and get ready. And I did buy like some lightweight pants because
humid.
The teacher was like, you do not want to be wearing jeans in Tokyo in the summertime.
Humid.
It's really rainy. Although I've been checking the weather. It's not that hot there right now. Although it's like super humid. I mean, it's like 80 degrees with really high humidity. But last year, apparently, it was like really, 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 really hot and really high humidity. Yeah. The same thing with Columbus. Last year, Columbus was like 97 degrees and this killer humidity. I mean, it was just like melting, awful, disgusting weather. And this year, it was like maybe 80, a little on the warm, you know, like a little, you know, perfectly pleasant. I didn't talk about Jenny's ice cream.
Global warming.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, climate change. Jenny's ice cream, I only made it to Jenny's once this year. That Jenny's
the
is like
frozen custard place?
They're not frozen custard, they're ice cream. Okay. But they do some yogurt and sorbet, but it's like, it was like the hit of TNNA last year. Like all the reviews, like Clara Park's review about TNNA for Knitter's Review, like half the space was devoted to talking about Jenny's ice cream instead of like yarn or anything. And that was all anyone could talk about. And then, that was the second most photographed moment of TNNA, I think, was that last year, Kat Bordy, if you say to Jenny's like, I'm not going to eat this right away, they'll pack it in dry ice for you for like $1.50. So she brought dry ice back to the hotel, and she and Stephanie Promachfee and a bunch of other people like put it in water and had this like bubbling, smoky dry ice thing going on, and they put all their knitting around it, and it was all photographed, and it was like this big joke for TNNA. And then, so this year, Kat wanted to recreate it, but so she brought the dry ice to the Stitch Co-op booth and put it in a garbage can. And so there's all this video and photos of like Isolde and Kat and Lord Chow like on the ground, like, you know, hovering over this boiling pot. And in one of the videos you can hear like Annie Modisett saying, looking around going, oh, we have a coven, there's 13 of us, we've got a coven, we're good. And like we were like scaring customers away from the Stitch Co-op booth, I think, but it was pretty funny. And then like Isolde's mousy like got dunked in the dry ice because I thought like it would freeze him or something, but instead it just got him all wet, and he's stuffed with lentils, so we were sure he's gonna like
sprout,
rot. Yeah, sprout, exactly,
have all these little like green tendrils.
Yeah, and it was really funny. But where was I going with that? But the Jenny's ice cream thing, I only made it there once, but some people were like, second time today, heading over to Jenny's. And so it's like a thing. Because there's a little market that's pretty close to the convention center that I never make it to before it closes. And then you go further down the road, and they have their actual brick and mortar shops, which is open until 11 o'clock. Yay! So I got a Coco Rococo, which was like dark chocolate ice cream with caramel sauce and mixed nuts. Really good. Because I was in line, I'm like, I want something nutty and chocolatey. Like, I really was craving, like, Rocky Road. Or the Baraki Road that Molly Moons had done.
But does not have anymore.
They don't have anymore. That made me so sad. That was so good. Anyway. Okay, so enough.
That's a
on.
Long time.
That is.
Yeah. So we'll be back when Jessica's back from Japan and hopefully rested up.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll be, like, so much more rested after my coming back from
we'll
my 16-hour time
days.
Change. My whole body clock is going to be...
Quackadoo!
I'm going to spend, like, all... Well, and then July, I go back to Wisconsin, and that is, like, another rough... I don't think my body clock will be, like, settled out until sometime, like, mid-September, so...
That'll be good for a podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. We'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. This time, 'cause they seem so must be.